When I arrived today, I asked Brother Birch what I should talk about, what you needed to hear, what it is that would be worth your while during all everything else you've got going on right now in the middle of your day, right here in the middle of the school term, what it is. And he gave an interesting answer, one that I knew but that I hadn't focused on. He said, you know, these wonderful young people are at a great point of decision in their lives. I don't know why our Father in Heaven does it this way, but for some reason, you barely reach maturity. You barely reach adulthood. And some of the sisters are smiling here because they're going, yeah, we know a lot of brothers that haven't reached maturity or adulthood yet, Elder Keach. But okay, fine. You're coming up on maturity and you're coming up on adulthood. And you've got the most important decisions to make in eternity, right? I mean, first and foremost, what your relationship with your Heavenly Father is going to be, what kind of a testimony you're going to have. And then all the things that come along, you know, do I go on a mission? A question that's taken on increased importance these days. Do I get married? And if so, to whom? What's my career going to be? And how, what am I going to do spending the rest of my life here? All those are important questions. And I thought after Brother Birch kind of highlighted that for me again today, that I would share with you in the few minutes that I've got remaining what I've learned over the years about recognizing and following the Spirit. And things that at least have meant and been important to me as I have sought answers from our Heavenly Father. And I'll mention several principles to you here in the few minutes that we've got left. The first one that I would mention to you, and maybe the most important one, is something that happens often when we have important decisions to make, and when we have faith that our Father in Heaven will guide us. It's certainly happened in my life. I reach a major crossroads in my life with a major decision to make. And I get to the crossroads, and there are all these, you know, different paths leading off in different ways. And I say, kind of in my prayers to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm here at the crossroads. Tell me which way to go. I'm here. And if the answer doesn't come immediately, I kind of sit down at the crossroads, you know, and I say, Lord, I'm at the crossroads. Send me the guidance. I got all these paths. I have complete faith in you. Let me know. And I can find myself sometimes sitting at the crossroad for quite a while, waiting for the guidance of our Father in Heaven. So here's the first principle that I've learned about receiving guidance and revelation from our Father in Heaven. The Lord expects us to rely on our own resources and our own intelligence in the first instance in order to start walking the path that He would have us walk. Let's see if I can give you an example of that. I have a favorite story. It's a story of a group of smoke jumpers. Most of you probably know what smoke jumpers are. They fight forest fires a little bit differently than regular forest fighters, where while most forest firefighters, you know, drive in low and in trucks and fight up the mountain when there's a forest fire. Smoke jumpers actually parachute in. They go up in the airplane, jump out, land on the ridge, and they fight the fire downward. So there are a group of smoke jumpers that were involved in a particularly tough fire several years ago, and they were getting ready to jump onto the ridge where they were going to fight the fire. The smoke jumper, as they usually do, the leader of the jumpers, went to the dispatcher and said, okay, tell me, when we get up on top of the ridge, what do you want us to do? And the dispatcher said, things are really fluid right now. Make your jump. Call me on the radio when you get on top of the ridge, and I'll tell you how best to get down to fight the fire. Smoke jumpers, all of them, including their leader, said, great, that's a great plan. we'll do it. And so up they go in the airplane, get up to altitude, jump out, make a picture-perfect landing on top of the ridge, and as they're folding up their parachutes, they can see the fire down below them. And they can also see several different pathways that they could take to get to the fire and to start fighting it. But as they promised, after they get their parachutes rolled up and get ready to move, the leader of the smoke jumpers takes out his small handheld radio and calls the dispatcher. Says, we're here. We're ready for the guidance on how we can best fight the fire. He releases his transmitting switch on the radio, and there's nothing but static. He tries again. Dispatcher, we're here. We're waiting for our guidance and instructions. Let's go with the transmitting button. Nothing. Just static. The smoke jumpers conclude that the dispatcher's probably really busy, and they decide to give it 10 minutes and then try again. So after 10 minutes passes, they again key in their radio, call up the dispatcher, tell him they're ready for their instructions, and again, nothing comes back but static. This time they're a little peeved. The dispatcher promised them instructions. They can see the fire below them. They know it needs fighting. They can also see several paths that they could take. Why isn't the dispatcher there to give them the instructions and guidance that they need? They decide to wait a few more minutes. 20 minutes, same thing. They decide to wait 20 more. They've now been on top of the ridge for an hour. Nothing from the dispatcher. By now, they're kind of getting angry. They're kind of, you know, they feel forgotten. They think the dispatcher's just totally forgotten them, and they're not real anxious to move down and start fighting the fire without his directions. So they decide that they'll take off their packs and recline for a few minutes. An hour becomes 2 hours. They're constantly trying to contact the dispatcher. Nothing. 2 hours become three. They get hungry. They decide maybe they'll cook lunch up on the mountaintop. So they light a fire, which is somewhat ironic given the circumstances, and they cook lunch. After lunch, they try the dispatcher again. Nothing. The dispatcher just will not answer them. So they recline on their pack and take a nap. And pretty soon 3 hours becomes 5 hours. And here are this group of smoke jumpers right on top of the ridge, reclining on their backpacks, waiting for guidance from the dispatcher. Finally, about 6 hours after they landed on the ridge, a weary crew chief comes up from the bottom. He's been fighting the fire all day, and imagine his surprise when he comes upon this group of smoke jumpers, reclined on their packs, some of them asleep. He has a few choice words for them. They jump up. The leader of the smoke jumper goes over to the crew chief and says, "Chief, it's not our fault. We were here. We were ready to go. The dispatcher promised us instructions, but never came through, and so we didn't know which path to take." Crew chief looked at the head smoke jumper for a minute and held out his hand for the radio. He said, "Give me the radio." The smoke jumper gave him the radio. He wandered down one of the paths towards the fire about 50 yards, keyed in the microphone, called the dispatcher, and the dispatcher's voice came in as clear as could be. He walked back up, glanced at the smoke jumpers, and walked about 50 yards down a path going the other direction down towards the fire. Keyed in the radio, called the dispatcher. Dispatcher's voice came back clear as a bell. Crew chief walked back to the smoke jumpers, tossed the radio in disgust to them, and said this, "You're in a dead spot. All you had to do was start walking one of the pathways down towards the fire, and the dispatcher would have been able to give you the directions necessary for you to help us in a fire that almost got away. Instead, you sat here in a dead spot, and you were worthless to us." That principle, my brothers and sisters, is very applicable to you and to me, but especially to you at your time of life. The Lord expects you to be up and moving. He expects you to use your intelligence and your experience as you confront major decisions. He expects you to utilize that, to figure out what seems best for you, and to start walking the path. As you do, then, He will be there to give you directions about if there needs to be any course corrections. I love this quotation from President Packer so much so that I put it into my scriptures. Here's what he says, quote, "We are expected to use the light and knowledge we already possess to work out our lives. We should not need a revelation to instruct us to be up and about our duty, for we've been told to do that already in the scriptures. Nor should we expect revelation to replace the spiritual or temporal intelligence which we've already received, only to extend it when it is necessary. We must go about our life in an ordinary workaday way, following the routines and rules and regulations that govern life. Rules and regulations and commandments are valuable protection. Should we stand in need of revealed instruction to alter our course, it will be waiting along the way as we arrive at the point in need." Close quote. When you come to those major crossroads in your life, mission, marriage, school, and numerous other decisions, remember that the Lord expects you and me to choose a path, to start walking it, and then to expect the course corrections that come from a loving Heavenly Father as He adjusts our path. The second principle that I've learned about revelation and about recognizing the Spirit is that ordinarily the Spirit is very subtle and very soft. Ordinarily, the Spirit is not going to give you what I call a thunder and lightning experience. In fact, I'll be really candid with you, brothers and sisters. In my lifetime, serving in church leadership positions and other things, as I have sought revelation and guidance from the Lord, I think I can count on two hands the number of just extraordinary, what we might call thunder and lightning spiritual experiences. Ordinarily, in our lives, even when we have major decisions to make, the Spirit talks to us softly and subtly. And sometimes I think as we teach you, those of us who are called upon to teach you, we do you a little bit of a disservice. We spend a lot of time in section 9 of Doctrine and Covenants. I'm willing to bet that as you grew up, you spent a lot of time there. You know, the reason it out for yourself, and then you'll either feel a burning in your bosom, right, or a stupor of thought. And that is certainly one way that the Spirit operates. It certainly is one way that the Spirit operates. But sometimes in focusing so much on section 9 in the Doctrine and Covenants, we forget the section that's three sections before it, section 6. Section 6 is also a revelation that was given for Oliver's benefit as he and Joseph are translating the Book of Mormon. And Joseph has been telling Oliver all of these great thunder and lightning experiences that he's been having lately and in his life. And Oliver kind of says, you know, I'd like one of those. I would like a really burning bush kind of experience where I just know that I'm about God's work. And so he says to Joseph, Joseph, will you pray to the Lord, please, and tell him that I'd really like this great revelation that just cements everything in place, that tells me I'm doing the right thing here. And after some discussion, Joseph agrees and goes to the Lord and says, Lord, Oliver would kind of like a burning bush experience. What would you have me tell him, Lord? In the sixth section, here's what the Lord says to Oliver. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to tell you kind of what I think Oliver might have been thinking as this revelation came to him. Okay, so I'm going to kind of read some of what the Lord says, and then I'm going to kind of tell you what I think Oliver may have been thinking. So this is in the sixth section. Behold, Oliver, thou knowest that thou hast inquired of me. Yes, I have, Lord. I've been inquiring of you. I'd really like to know that this is true. And boy, if I could like see a burning bush or have some great miracle or revelation, that would just be terrific. I have previously enlightened thy mind. Yes, you have, Lord. You've helped me with understand this work, and you've definitely sent some enlightenment to me. Now I'd really like the big one, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you desire a further witness, oh, I do, Lord, I desire a further witness, as big a one as you can send me, please. Cast your mind upon the night that you cried unto me in your heart. Okay, I remember that. That you might know concerning the truth of these things. Yes, I remember that, Lord. Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter? Well, yes, you did, Lord. You spoke peace. There's no question. I felt a real feeling of peace there. What greater witness can you have from God? President Packer puts it this way. Back to my favorite quotations from him. He says, 99 times out of 100, the Spirit does not get our attention through some strong, impressive manner. Rather, it whispers. It caresses so gently that if we are preoccupied, we may not feel it at all. Occasionally, it will press just firmly enough for us to pay heed. But most of the time, if we do not heed the gentle feeling, it will withdraw and wait. Close quote. As we seek the direction of our Father in heaven, in big matters and small matters, we need to remember that usually, not all the time, there is certainly a place in this life for strong spiritual experiences. You've felt some of those already, and you will in your life. But ordinarily, the Spirit is subtle, and it is soft. And we have to listen for it carefully, or we will miss it. The third principle that I've recognized in my lifetime is that about the Spirit is that it is not easy to recognize it. It is not something that just automatically happens in our lifetime. And you know, we beat ourselves up about that. You beat yourselves up sometimes. You pray for direction and guidance. You ask our Father in heaven to send an answer to you, and the answer doesn't come. And immediately we as human beings start to say to ourselves, boy, it must be because I'm not worthy. You know, I didn't go to Sunday school last week when I should have. I skipped out right after sacrament meeting, and it must be because I'm not worthy. The Lord's not going to give me direction essentially until I'm perfect, right? Because as long as I'm in some sort of a state of sin, he can't give me the revelation I need, and so that becomes somewhat of a self-defeating process in our minds, because we're always trying to be perfect before we ask the Lord or expect the Lord to give us revelation. Revelation is not easy to recognize. I love this quotation from Elder Glenn Pace about how we deal with that in our lives. He says this. He says, we have more patience with our failures in learning to ski than we do in learning how to recognize the Spirit. When we fall going down the slope, we get up, laugh at ourselves, and try again. When we have a failure in recognizing the Spirit, we feel guilt and are reluctant to go forward. It's natural to have setbacks in this area. It's okay. It's all right. Stay with it. Don't give up. As you focus on some of these major decisions that you're making in your life, I testify to you that our Father in heaven will be there for you. He will be there for you. But there is a process that you must go through too as you learn to recognize the Spirit and as you spend a lifetime learning exactly how those promptings work. At your young age, you should expect a lot of yourselves. You should expect a great deal. You are the strongest generation that this church has ever had. You should expect a great deal. Just don't expect too much. Okay? Do the best that you can. I love those words from President Hinckley, right? Six words. Just do the best that you can. Just do the best that you can. Seven words from President Hinckley. I think he didn't say that. Just do the best you can. There we go. That's all the Lord expects. That's all the Lord expects from you. That is all the Lord expects. Be a little bit better today than you were yesterday. And as you are entitled to his guidance and his Spirit. It will usually come in a quiet way. It will usually come while you're up and about moving. And it will take some patience and practice to recognize it. The fourth principle that I've learned in recognizing the Spirit. Normally, our Father in heaven shows us one or two steps ahead on our path. And we live in an age, you know, a fast food age, an obey your thirst age, an age where we want to know how the book comes out, and so we're happy to go right to the back and read the end of the book. We would like to see the end from the beginning, thank you very much. We would like to see the course that is going to be mapped out for our entire lives. It is great when we can stand on the mountaintops and just see that course for miles and miles and miles. That sometimes happens. Once in a great while, the Lord shows us the very end from the beginning, but not usually. Usually, he shows us one or two steps ahead and expects us to walk those one or two steps and then seek further guidance and direction from him. You know this scripture very well. You're all too young to probably remember the song that came along with it. In Saturday's Warrior, when Sister Keach and I were growing up, Saturday's Warrior was the big thing. You can still watch it. I think you can pull it right up on YouTube now, or at least most of the songs. And there's this great song, but it's made from a scripture in 2 Nephi, line upon line, precept on precept, right? Here's what the scripture says. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to sing the song to you. Sorry. I'm not putting that much of my talent on the altar of the Lord yet. But here's what the Lord says. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. And from them that shall say, we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. Ordinarily, my brothers and sisters, the Lord's guidance comes line upon line, precept on precept. Now, the last one that I would mention to you today. The Lord has his own time and his own way, and he's worked out, and he understands your plan and your path better than you do. So when he sends his guidance, it will be according to his own time, in his own way, according to his own will. In fact, there's a great scripture in the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. The 88th section probably contains more promises to you and to me than any other section in the Doctrine and Covenants or in Scripture overall. Sometime, go through the 88th section and just make a list of the promises that are made to you there. Up to and including that we will see the face of God. But many, many more great promises. And then, right at the end of the section, this little kicker, after all the promises have been listed, this one. And those promises shall be fulfilled in mine own time, in mine own way, and according to mine own will. Sometimes we just read right over that. Best example I can give you about that in my life was when I served as the stake president. I'm pretty much a type A personality. You can probably tell that about me. And Sister Keach will tell you, I schedule and have lists and have all sorts of things. Well, you know, as a young stake president, it came time to release a bishop and call a new one. So my thinking went exactly like this. Okay, Lord, on Saturday and Sunday, I will think hard about who the new candidates will be. And by Monday, I will kind of have a short list. On Tuesday, I will go to the temple and I will go there fasting and praying. On Wednesday, the Lord will tell me who the new bishop is supposed to be, and on Thursday, I'll fill out the paperwork so that we can move forward. Pretty good plan. Pretty, you know, just right down the line. And so I went through the weekend, had a great experience, came up with a short list, went to the temple Tuesday fasting and praying. Wednesday, nothing. Nada. So my prayers on Wednesday evening were kind of like this, Lord, didn't you read the timetable? I mean, I've spent the weekend doing this. I went to the temple. Now it's Wednesday. I need to know who the new bishop is, please. It's time to get the new bishop in place. We're losing time on the timetable. I had forgotten quite quickly that the Lord sends revelations in his own time, in his own way, according to his own will. And sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord. In fact, if you want another great scripture opportunity to study the scriptures, just the next time you read, notice how many times in the scriptures someone has to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, I have learned about revelation and recognizing the Spirit. You're doing everything right. Sometimes you just have to learn to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes you have to wait for your timetable to come and sync itself with his timetable. Now I close with two promises. two promises to you as you go forward in making these decisions that you have to make. One is from the Lord's prophet, and is a wonderful paragraph about what you have to look forward to. He says this, speaking to your generation, to young single adults, my young friends, President Hinckley says, rise to the great potential within you. I do not ask that you reach beyond your capacity. I hope that you will not nag yourselves with thoughts of failure. I hope you will not try to set goals far beyond your capacity to achieve. I hope you will simply do what you can in the best way you know how. Just do the best you can. If you do so, you will witness miracles. Close quote. The second promise is from the Lord himself. Wherefore, be of good cheer and do not fear. For I, the Lord, am with you and will stand by you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye are little children, and ye have not as yet understood how great blessings the Father hath in his own hands prepared for you. And ye cannot bear all things now. Nevertheless, be of good cheer, for I will lead you along. I will go before your face. I will be on your right hand and on your left, and mine angels shall be round about you to bear you up. The kingdom is yours, and the blessings thereof are yours, and the riches of eternity are yours. To that, I add my own humble testimony, that God lives, that he loves you. He knows you by name. He knows the path that you are walking. He loves you with a love more pure than your own father and mother and family love you. He wants what is best for you even more than they do. And if you will simply stretch out your hand to him, if you will simply be up and moving and doing good things, if you will listen carefully for the subtle whisperings of the Spirit, if you will understand that his guidance is going to come a step or two at a time usually, and if you will wait upon him and his loving guidance, he will take your hand and lead you and guide you and walk beside you all the way back through eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.